Okay. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. We'll begin the bidding. We've received certified proofs of the publication have been received in the Office of Mineral Resources on behalf of the State Mineral and Energy Board of the State of Louisiana from the Advocate Official Journal of the State of Louisiana and from the respective parish journals as evidence that tracks 44606 through 44613 have been advertised in accordance with and under the provisions of Chapter 2, Title 30 of the Revised Statutes of 1950 as amended. We do have letters of protest on tracks number 44607, 44610, 44611 from Mr. Greg Duplantis with Gordon Arata, dated October 28th. We're going to continue with the leasing. We have no notification of tracks for withdrawal. We'll now commence with opening of the bids.
Good morning. We did not receive any bids on tracks 44606. We did receive one bid on track 44607, advertised as 1,102 acres. The bid is for a portion containing 637.23 acres. 637.23 acres. The bidder is Hillcore Energy One LP. Hillcore Energy One LP. The bid is for a five-year primary term with a cash payment of $127,446. $127,446, or a per acre of $200. Annual rentals are $63,723. $63,723. Royalties are 21%. We did not receive any bids on tracks 44608, 609, or 610. We did receive one bid on track 44611, advertised as 1,369 acres. The bid is for a portion containing 9.37 acres. 9.37 acres. The bidder is Hillcore Energy One LP. Hillcore Energy One LP. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $3,982.25. $3,982.25. Or a per acre value of $425. Annual rentals are $1,991.13. $1,991.13. Royalties are 25%. We did not receive any bids on tracks 44612, R44613, and that will complete the opening and reading of the bids for today's lease sale.
Okay, thank you, Emil. We'll recess till the board meeting till 9:30 a.m. Thank you.
All right, if everyone's ready, I'd like to call this meeting to order. Could I get a roll call, please?
Yes, sir. Ms. LeBlanc, Mr. Arnold, Mr. Harris?
Here.
Mr. Cordero?
Here.
Ms. Dugas?
Here.
Mr. Height?
Here.
Mr. Hollinshead?
Here.
Mr. Watkins?
Here.
Mr. Carter? Mr. Bradbury?
Here.
Chairman Segura?
Here.
We have a quorum, sir.
Great, thank you. Item 3 is approval of the October 12th, 2016 minutes. Do I have a motion for approval of those minutes?
I move to.
Moved by Secretary Harris, second by Mr. Hollinshead. Any public comment? If not, all in favor?
Aye.
All opposed, motion carries. Item 4 is the staff reports. The lease review report is now presented by Jason Talbot and Mr. Charles Bradbury.
Thank you, Chairman. Members of the board, I'm here to present the lease review agenda today. All the board members should have a binder containing information related to this agenda. Let's start with how many active leases there are. 1,383 active leases covering nearly 581,000 acres. G&E staff reviewed since the last board meeting some 114 leases covering approximately 40,000 acres. We have 8 leases in 3 different fields to discuss in more detail today. Let's begin with State Lease 199A in the designated Area 1 in the Bay St. Elaine field. Hillcorp Energy Company is our lessee. Board last reviewed this lease on October 14, 2015. The board accepted Hillcorp's status update and granted Hillcorp until October 12, 2016 to submit an updated status report on lease development activity. By letter dated October 12, Hillcorp reported the following activity. They sidetracked and completed the Basane Lane Unit 15 number 19 well at a cost of $5.9 million into the 33-1 sand, with an initial rate of 70 barrels per day and 3,900 MCF a day. There remains future behind pipe recompletions exist in this well bore. In the Basane Lane lease complex, they recompleted 2 wells and performed 1 workover. Expenditures in the field totaled approximately $6.9 million. 2000 to 2016 activity resulted in an increase of almost 900 barrels per day from last year's report. Current field production is approximately 2,888 oil equivalent per day. Their seismic reprocessing has been completed and should serve to increase opportunities in the field. Future plans include drill 2 wells to test 2 separate suites of field pay sands, one in 2017 and one in 2018 at approximately cost of $8.5 million. The 2017 workover on the unit number 30 well is scheduled, and performing workovers and recompleting wells continues to be a significant priority of the technical team. Staff is recommending that the board accept Hillcorp's status update and grant Hillcorp until October 11, 2017 to submit an updated status report on lease development activity. Moving on to Lake Rackasy, State Lease 1450, 1451, and 1480. ExxonMobil Corporation is our lessee. Essentially, the report here today is that Exxon asked last month to be given to November 1st to get their release in that they had voluntarily agreed to. They did get their release in. A letter we received dated October 26, Exxon included copies of the executed partial releases for each lease. All that we would wait for is to get the courthouse certified copies. We are recommending that these releases be accepted and that these leases be moved from board review to annual staff review. And moving on to our last field, fields Eloy Bay and Half Moon Lake, operated by Cox. Operating involves state lease 2220, 2221, 4039, and 4147. The board last reviewed these leases on November 12, 2015. The board accepted Cox's report and granted Cox until November 15, 2016 to provide an update of field development affecting these leases. By letter dated October 12, 2016, Cox reported the following. Oil prices and slowdown in the industry have directed Cox's efforts to maintain a stable production rate on the leases, servicing equipment and pipelines, identifying repairing downhole problems, and continue to operate in a safe and environmentally sensitive mode. Despite prices, Cox has been able to avoid the shut-in of production and the laying off of personnel. Cox has spent approximately $480,000 for ongoing litigation on several oyster leases, and this issue continues to have a negative effect on their oil and gas operations. Cox continues their abandonment activities and completed the P&A of the state lease 2200 number 138 and the state lease 11499 number 1 well at the cost of approximately $500,000. Staff is recommending the board accept Cox's report and grant Cox until November 8, 2017 to provide an update of field development activities on these leases. And that concludes my portion.
All right. Would you like us to approve those three before this item three?
Yes.
So item two, which is a board review and in this lease review section with sub-items 1, 2, 3 involving Hillcorp Energy, ExxonMobil, and Cox Operating LLC. Do I have a motion to accept the staff's recommendation? Are any questions?
I have a question.
Yeah.
Mr. Talbot, why on the lease here for the southern area with ExxonMobil, the second one that you talked about, Ricori, how do you pronounce that? Why is it that it's being moved from the board review to the annual staff review? Is that the normal procedure?
Yes, ma'am. When we feel like we've addressed issues of undeveloped acreage sufficiently, we will move it to the staff review. There are several leases that we review internally, and if we have issues, we write those letters through the staff. And we'll continue to monitor Exxon's activity over these leases. We just feel like that it doesn't need to be an elevated concern with the board. The fact that they're basically releasing 1,900 acres total off of these leases, and we're satisfied with.
So then once the staff makes the review, it comes back to the board for final approval. Is that what's going to happen here? Or
no, ma'am. If the board approves this recommendation, these leases won't come back up for any future board meetings unless we feel like Exxon is not doing what we feel like they should do in developing these leases. Does that make sense? It's kind of like we basically put it in a different priority. We had it in a high priority, bringing it before the board. Now that they've met some requirements of releasing non-productive acreage, we're satisfied, and so that priority moves down to a different level.
All right. Any other further questions or discussion? Any public comment? Do I have a motion to approve those three items under board review?
Motion to approve.
Moved by Mr. Bradbury, second by Mr. Watkins. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? The motion carries. Item three, force majeure.
Good morning, Chairman Segura and members of the board. This morning I want to bring you an update from Sanchez Oil and Gas Corporation. They've requested that we extend recognition of the force majeure for an additional 3 months to the February 8th, 2017 board meeting. In their most recent updated report, the Corps of Engineers intends only to raise the water level in the lake 1 foot to 28 feet. And to bring you into remembrance, they need 34 feet to get out there, get the rig out on location to actually do the work. So, the Corps isn't going to raise it or allow it to go any higher than 28 feet. They're doing that for duck season, which ends January 29th, 2017. At that point, Sanchez anticipates that sometime during the week of the 1st of February 2017, they're going to allow the water level in the lake to start rising naturally. The August board resolution on this matter provided that once the level got to 34 feet, then they'd have 85 days to restart downhole reworking operations on the well. And it's our recommendation that the board extend it and revisit this matter at the February 8th, 2017 board meeting.
Okay. Do you need an approval for this?
Yes, since it's an extension, yes, yeah. Sir. We need a right. Board resolution to extend it, please.
Any questions or discussion about the Sanchez Oil and Gas issue? Not even about the water level in the duck feed?
What about the oysters? I mean, you know, come on.
Well, there are no oysters in this lake.
Do I have a motion for, or do I have any public comment? Do I have a motion for approval? Motion by Mr. Cordero, second by Ms. Marchand-Dugas. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? The motion carries. Thank you, guys. Nomination and track, presented by Mr. Emil Fontenot.
Approval by the board was previously granted to staff to process and advertise 8 tracts in the official journal of the state and in the official journal of the parishes where the lands are located for today's lease sale. For the November 12, 2015 mineral lease sale, this office received 10 nominations for advertisement. 3 letters of protest were received from Gregory D. Duplantis with Gordon Arata Law Firm, dated October the 28th, 2016, 1 letter pertaining to tract number 44607, which we received a bid on today, the 2nd letter pertaining to tract 44610, and the 3rd letter pertaining to tract 44611, also receiving a bid on that tract, or situated in Plaquemines Parish, Louisiana. We reviewed the objections that they had. We feel that the tracts were properly advertised out of an abundance of caution. This has to do in the down in the mouth of the river, and we brought in the division administration land people there, as well as the attorney general, to look over the situation. We feel comfortable that these tracks should have been left up for today's lease sale and that they were advertised properly. This is information purposes only. 9 nominations received at the Office of Mineral Resources for the January 11, 2017 mineral lease sale or pending approval by the board for advertising. For the January 13, 2016 mineral lease sale, this office received 13 nominations for advertisement. Staff recommends that they be given the authority to advertise the aforementioned tracts.
All right. Any questions or discussion? Mr. Hike?
Just want to know, how is it that your office receives nominations for advertisement? Is it strictly from industry? In other words, I guess what I'm saying is, do we rely upon industry to tell us where they want to drill, or does the state somehow have a mechanism which opens up other lands for advertising?
Almost on all.
Explain that process to us.
Almost on all instances, to answer your question, it is generated through industry. They're the people that do the seismic. They're the people that know where the hot spots are to drill. So we rely, or we wait for them to nominate those particular areas that they have of interest. There are times when situations that have already taken place, there could have been a field that was developed and where somebody missed a state acreage within their unit, and they do not care to advertise the track. We will, if they don't want to come in and work with us, we will advertise that track. But that's rare occasions right there that we would initiate the nomination process.
Isn't it true that the state of Louisiana has a lot of land available for oil and gas exploration that is really not being advertised today? And if so, I think it's true. And if so, is there a way that we can do something to encourage further exploration and advertisement and leasing?
Well, I think we have 7 million acres, less whatever we have under lease at present time. So, yes, to answer the first part of your question, we have a lot of acreage, but not all of that is potentially productive acreage. And the prudent way to go about that, Mr. Hike, is to do what industry does. They do preliminary research, such as geophysicists and the exclusive geophysical agreements. They'll do those. They'll get those permits and all, and they'll do the seismic on those areas out of the state. The state may only have 20% of all of the acreage available that could be considered productive. For us to go out there and advertise all of that, we would be wasting money, because first of all, industry has no interest in anything but productive areas. So we don't have that expertise to say, well, we believe this is a productive area and we're going to put it up for lease.
Has the state ever done that?
To my knowledge, no, sir. They don't have the staff to
do that. I understand
that.
But could there be some kind of recommendation or process in which we could assist the state in trying to get more land, you know, in that posture? I mean, right now, I understand not having the personnel. The department may not have the personnel to do that. But what can we do to encourage more of that sort of thing within industry?
I need to correct myself. We do have the expertise in-house to do it. That was a misstatement. We don't have the finances and the wherewithal to shoot the seismic and to collect that data and on our own. So there are times where we do get that from industry, and our staff is capable and they have the expertise to evaluate that acreage. But if you're talking about doing what industry is doing, we're talking about millions of dollars upfront costs to be able to shoot that seismic shoot for our people to begin to evaluate it, only to find out whether it's potential or not. And there's a lot of things that go on before seismic. Geologists in industry, that's their livelihood. They'll work up areas, and this can take years for them to do. Our staff is tasked with other things. They're not doing those particular procedures. So,
do you know whether or not any other states take any other actions to encourage the development and advertising of oil and gas leases that our state does not? I'm not casting dispersions.
I understand.
I'm just looking for ways that we might be able to encourage more exploration and advertisement. Because right now, all it seems to me like all we're doing in our state, unfortunately, and, you know, I understand financial restraints, but we're just waiting for industry to come to us. What can we do to encourage more of that property to be placed in a commerce? I don't know. I'm just asking a question.
Yes, sir. Mr. Chairman, if I could comment?
Yes, Mr. Hikes.
I've worked in the industry for basically 28 years and across Texas, Oklahoma, New Mexico, California, Wyoming, North Dakotas, so forth. I have not seen an instance where the state would take an initiative to do the technical work on their own to provide that information to the oil and gas companies. It's fundamentally been because there's a lot of work, like Mr. Fontenot was saying, a lot of money spent up front. They don't take that initiative. Fundamentally, what they do is say, my land is open to you. If you think you want to come to us, and we'll work with you and get it to you and let you leave.
Gotcha.
As far as I can tell, there are no other initiatives in other states that would work along the lines that you might be thinking about.
I'm just curious about the process.
Nor am I aware, to answer your question. I know of no other states as well. But a good question. Very good.
Yeah, there's a gentleman behind you that's raising his hand.
Joey, you want to approach and state your name?
Joey Landry. Just wanted to say that when we nominate these tracts, we pay $400 per tract to have it advertised. And there's a lot of cost that goes into working those tracts up. So it's expensive to do. And the Sunrise system makes it easy to go on and see what acreage is owned by the state and what's leased. So the oil and gas companies that are interested in operating and drilling wells have Sunrise to go to and see what's available. But it's just a tough time right now in the industry or anybody to drill a well with natural gas prices being so low and oil prices being so low. That's the problem. And other states are typically known to be more operator-friendly than Louisiana. So there's a reason why Louisiana may not be as active as Texas or Arkansas or Mississippi. And part of that is geology. If there's a known play that's proven to be economic, oil and gas companies will go and try to participate in that play. And it's just a difficult time in the industry right now. And, you know, we'd like, as an industry, to see the state work with us to try to encourage activity. And I know the lease farming, and that's a different deal. Changing the lease farm at this time only makes it more difficult. So,
yeah, but my question to you, sir, is do you know if there's anything that we can do to, and that's a horse of a different color, this lease farm. We ain't going to get into that right now, right? But what I was inquiring about is the state has a lot of land that's not being developed, and we wait for the industry to bring to us their interest in developing various properties. I'm wanting to know if there's something that we can do as a state to encourage industry to look at some of these other areas that they may not have looked at. And Mr. Bradbury tells me he doesn't know of other states. That,
well, I would ask a question. Are you indirectly asking us, the state, to do your geologic work? Do you do your seismic
work?
Absolutely
not.
Okay. No. That's fundamentally, you're talking about a big commitment there and lots of money and lots of staff. And so what other ways, I guess Mr. Hike is asking, what other ways might you think there might be for us to support, enhance, encourage the industry? It's rough right now. You're absolutely right.
Well, I think that's definitely worth exploring. This may not be the time and place to do it, but there's a lot of things to talk about, and you know, in the interest of staying on schedule, I think we may want to defer that to another time. Because we can talk about
lawsuits,
we can talk about severance taxes. There's a lot to talk about, but
I think here the issue is prior to any production, prior to drilling any well, I think Mr. Hike's question is how can you find ways, what ways can we encourage oil and gas to be more active on the lease, on the leases or on the lands that we do have? And that's different from, okay, you're already there, now what can we do? What can we do around severance taxes? What can we do around how we work with the operator to make their life a little easier, to make things better for them? It's two totally different approaches to this.
Well, Sunrise is a wonderful tool for the industry to use to see what state acreage is out there. And it shows you very easily what's leased and what's open. And exploration companies are going to go to the areas that they believe are potentially productive, but more importantly, economic. And the big issue right now is prices are down, and it costs a lot to develop a prospect and go out and lease it. And just because you make a productive well doesn't mean you're going to make a profit.
Right.
So it's just a tough time in the industry right now. And that's why you're only getting 10 nominations a month and two or three bids enough, because prices are down. And the companies are going to go to the areas where they think they can make money.
If I may please say something. My name is Pat Theophilus, Theophilus Oil, Gas, and Land Services. I think I'd mentioned to y'all earlier, it may have been months back, regarding situations that occurred in the 80s, same scenario basically. Everything had pretty much just kind of gone downhill, if you want to use that term. And what the state had come up with, we started doing what we called work bids, okay? With the way the work bids were set up were, the actual company would actually nominate what we called a wildcat area, okay? With that in mind, instead of paying like a price per acre, they would go ahead and bid on a royalty, okay? And a certain amount of royalty, the state would go ahead and it would be set, whereas once they reached their production part, okay, the well paid out and everything, then everything would start increasing. It would increase a little bit. This seemed to work for us in the 80s, so that's something else you all might want to look at. I've got some information in my office regarding the work bids and how successful they were, but it basically took a kind of a turnaround. You know, it wasn't a great, great success, but at least it got some of these companies going back again. And like Joey said, you know, right now it's definitely a downturn. In fact, it's the worst I've ever seen as long as I've been in this business now, 43 years, and this is by far the worst I've ever seen it. And, you know, right now we just have to work with these companies as much as possible, trying to get them on board. And keep in mind, again, you know, it's the smaller operators that really brought this thing back alive again. It wasn't your big, big companies. It was the smaller companies.
Things may have changed last night.
That we just don't know. We'll just have to wait and see. But, again, that's something else. You know, there's numerous ways that you could look at this. You know, trying to get industry to take a second look at Louisiana, because we need it. We need it very, very bad. And I think everybody realizes that, the board, the staff, and all of them. I mean, the staff has been outgoing. They've done all they possibly can to help industry, as well as the board. But, you know, it's just downtimes. That's all it is to it. You know, we want to keep that communication, that door open to industry. Like I said, and I mean, I've done seminars before. And I can tell you, it's amazing the way this thing was built up. You know, years back, it was fantastic. It was unbelievable the money that this state had brought in. And like I've told y'all before, you know, what other state has your rental, one half of your cash payment? That is unbelievable, you know? I mean, most of your states, Texas and Mississippi, I think one of them's $15, one of them's $10 an acre. That's for your rentals. You know, look at the thousands of dollars that we're asking these companies to bring to Louisiana just to pay the rental, the upkeep, and the maintenance on these leases.
Secretary Harris? Thank you, Pat. Any other questions? Great, thanks. All right.
I would just like to say, Mr. Hike, that Secretary Boulay constantly challenges this whole staff to look for ways to encourage it, and we continue to do that on a daily basis.
Emil, or any of the staff members, didn't during, and I know this was a limited situation, but during when the Haynesville Shale was really hot, I'm not sure about the state, but didn't they have like local municipalities and some of the school boards thinking we need to get in on this, so they nominated their tracks?
Absolutely.
Maybe without some
they do
seismic,
now.
But that was a very hot market.
It was, and even in that time, they called me, several agencies called me, and they were just excited, and they wanted to lease their property, and the first thing I said was, we'll be happy to do that for you. But did somebody contact you? And they said, no, we just want to get what the rest of the groups are getting. And I said, listen to my comment. We'll advertise that for you. But you're going to have to spend the money if you're going to nominate it yourself and go through that expense. And it was like $22,000 for one agency. We advertised all of those tracks, and we got not one bid on that.
Right.
So the experience shows that until industry is ready to deal with that area, it's almost it's not impossible. We continue to look for ways, but that's a game plan, sir.
Mr. Fontenot, are you aware of any self-nominations without industry and industry interest that were successfully leased? In other words, where there was not a nomination by the oil and gas industry, but either the state or a municipality nominated the tract and it was leased.
I can't think of one. If that changes, I would certainly let you know, but I doubt it. I can't recall any.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Any other questions for discussion? If not, I'd like to entertain a motion to approve those 9 nominations for the January 11th, 2017 meeting. Do we have a motion? Motion by Mr. Hollinshead. Second by Secretary Harris. All in favor? All opposed. The motion carries.
That completes the report.
Thank you, Emil. The audit report will be presented by Ms. Rachel Newman.
Good morning. As of October 31st, 2016, field audit collections totaled $729,651. This includes $471,723 in royalty exceptions, $54,149 in interest, and $203,780 in penalties. We currently have 64 open royalty audits. Royalties collected in October 2016 totaled $16,595,206. Fiscal year to date, that total is $72,885,256, as compared to the same time last year at $93,923,801. Monthly reports submitted in October totaled 331. This includes 123 for oil, 158 for gas, and 50 for plant products. Item number 1 on the agenda is a discussion on penalty waiver protocol as requested by the board at the October 12, 2016 board meeting. I have included in your packets in the back of your binders copies of the resolutions, most recent resolutions pertaining to the penalty waiver protocol and spelling it out for you, and I've also included some statistics on penalties that have been presented before the board and the percentages that have been waived. And I'm open to any questions.
All right. Are there any questions concerning those resolutions?
I'll go. I have a question.
Mr. Hyde?
And that is 3136B3. Is the resolution that deals with penalty waiver protocol for bonuses, rentals, and royalties and shut-in payments. And in the whereas portion of this resolution, 013.
Which one are you?
Okay.
I'm
looking
at several of them.
15-08-013.
Right. Okay.
And I'm looking at the 1, 2, 3, 4.
And it references.
I guess all of it. It's all subject to whatever this board wants to do, right?
Correct.
The discretion is with the board to change the requirements that are dictated in this resolution.
Yes, sir.
Because the statute allows that discretion to be given to the board.
Yes, sir.
And as I understand it, that is true also for, it's true for your department, but it's also true for Mr. Fontenot's department. This board has the authority to change whatever that protocol is, that the statute gives us that particular authority.
Yes, sir.
I just want to make sure I understood that.
Any other questions or discussion?
Is there a difference? What's outlined in the fifth whereas in that same resolution, was that adopted in
95? Yes, sir.
That protocol?
We had specific protocol that called for waivers above $10,000 to come before the board. The board initially adopted it April of 1995. It was reaffirmed in December 2007, March 2008, and September of 2010. And the protocol, this is for late payment of royalty. The protocol remained the same. This resolution also outlines how August of 2015, rather than have all penalty waivers in excess of 10,000 come before the board, that number was raised to 25,000. So now anything above 25,000 is coming before the board.
Anything above 25,000?
Any penalties assessed that are in excess of 25,000 must come to the board for approval.
So I guess your department or the Department of Natural Resources has the authority to waive penalties under 25.
Yes, sir. That's part of what the purpose of this resolution is. And staff waives all penalties in accordance with the protocol that's outlined in the resolutions. We do not deviate from the protocol.
If we want to change the protocol, we have the authority to change whatever the protocol.
Yes, sir.
Required. It wasn't until 2015 that we adopted this $25,000 ceiling?
Yes, sir.
Does the waiving of those penalties below $25,000, has the board ever been notified of what it is that's been waived?
No, sir. Prior to the implementation of the $25,000, the board was only hearing everything in excess of $10,000. Anything below that threshold, we did not come to the boardroom report on. So now anything below the $25,000 threshold, it's just handled in-house in accordance with the protocol set by the board. But we do not come and report any information on those.
Is it contemplated that the board should not know what is waived under $25,000, even though the department may? I guess what I'm saying is I would like to know what has been waived under $25,000, even if I have given the department the authority to do so. Does a resolution prohibit that?
No, sir.
But we've never done that.
No, sir.
Like just getting a list rather than a full report?
Yeah. a list of, you know.
You mean, you want me to start including something like that in the back of your binders?
I'm just asking. I didn't realize that until just this minute. That might be something that we should consider, whatever the board wants to do in that regard.
Are we talking about a lot of money?
No, sir, not a significant amount of money.
Historically, what's been the trend?
Yeah, that's a good question.
If you look in the back of your binder, there is a bunch of historical information on penalties and waivers that have come before the board. I'm sorry, I'm flipping through trying to get to my spreadsheet.
Penalty and waiver protocol and resolution.
What tab is that?
It looks like this. It's a chart. It says royalty reporting at the top, and then field audit, and then a total. So royalty reporting, that includes all of the interest and penalty on late payment of royalties. So that's just the monthly late payment of royalty. The field audit portion is the specific criteria that come before the board, and we outline, were they cooperative, were they forthcoming with information, was it their first audit? So that's a different set of criteria, a different resolution. So that's why it's broken out that way. So you see the amount of the field audit waivers, and then at the bottom I combined it for you so you could see it in globo.
Under what tab is that, Matt?
It's in the audit tab. It's at the back of the audit tab for today's meeting.
I think I see. Thank you.
Rachel.
Yes, sir.
There's two schedules back here. The very last page has penalty amount waived of $506,000.
Yes, sir.
The previous schedule is $1,053,000. Right?
Yes, sir.
All right, so it's $1,553,000. Is that the number?
Mr. Watkins. Please, second.
So, do you add the two numbers together, or is the $500,000 included in the $1,053,000?
The amount. Let's see.
Or some of it, because some of this goes back to 13.
Yes, sir. I think that we may have picked up a little bit extra in this one. I did not break this one out. This one was done after this one. So
okay.
This one may include a little bit more. I'd have to go back to check and make sure for you. But it may go back a little bit further. No, I'm sorry. If you look at this one, it looks like it's picking up total fiscal year 12 to 13, it's picking up $506,000. That's just the 12-13 total.
We waived that amount?
Yes, sir.
That's over that period of time. That's over 4 years?
4 years.
No, sir. That's just in the 2012 through 2013. I would pay closer attention to this just because it's got the field audit and royalty. This one is only the royalty.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And if you do recall, for those of you that were on the board, this was an issue cited in the legislative auditor's report as well, in the performance report.
Ms. Newman, The document that has royalty reporting that you just held up, and that third box, the lower box, the smaller box,
mm-hmm.
does it include the years 13, 14, 15, and 16?
Yes. You're looking at this one?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. This top section is the royalty reporting, so that's anything that's late for each month. Then the field audit is that second box right there,
covers
the same, yes, sir, same years,
and
then it's just combined at the bottom.
So from 13 to 16, we waived $1.7 million.
Yes, sir.
For clarity, Rachel, when you have 13, is that referring to a fiscal year, or is that the year that the board waived?
That's the fiscal year, but it is the fiscal year that the board waived it.
Okay.
Rachel, does this number also include what was waived for the ones that were under 25,000?
No, sir. What I did when I prepared this one, it captured everything that was at the 10,000 threshold for that time period, and when it was moved to 25,000, it captures that. So it's only, it's strictly penalties that would go before the board. It's nothing that did not go before the board.
Do you have an estimate as to what it is that did not come before the board?
Not with me. I can certainly provide that information. These would be much smaller waivers, 500, 1,000,
yeah.
You know, smaller penalties assessed. I can tell you, too, that over the years, through education and online reporting, penalties are not as assessed. We don't assess as many as we used to in prior years. So penalties and interest is going down.
I don't know about anybody else, but I'd like that information. I'd just like to know what it is that has been waived that we aren't, you know, are not familiar with.
Can you create a chart like you did for this one?
Absolutely.
At the other, at the below threshold?
Yes. And I do, you know, I do have, now that I'm saying that, I do have some information on that. We have different penalties that we assess a 10% that is for the late payment of royalty. It's up to $1,000. We also have 5% up to $500 that is assessed for reporting errors. That can be a variety of different things. That could be they put the wrong disposition month, or they reported the wrong product on the wrong report. It still causes us work because we have to go back and correct it. So they are assessed a penalty for that up to $500. If we do not receive a payer notification form that they're going to pay on the property, we assess that. So I apologize, I do have statistics on those, and I can give you some of the information on those. It's a lot more voluminous, so it isn't included in your binders, but I can tell you that the total amount billed, I don't have the total amount waived, but the total amount billed from every interest and penalty and every penalty that we had for 15 and 16 for late payment of royalty on monthly reports, just on the monthly reports, not field audit, that was $1.2 million assessed in 15-16. Of that, we had $840,000 in penalties, and that was a total of 246 billings. I can go through them all, and I'll be happy to go through them all, but I feel like this is going to be better for you if I combine it all into a chart and present it to you for your information.
I would like to ask, Mr. Chairman, excuse me, I would like to ask, what is the internal protocol for approving a waiver at the lower levels? Does it go, what?
It goes, basically, it follows all the protocol that's outlined in the resolutions. So if it's based on infraction, we do it based on infraction, but it's strictly what the board has approved in the resolutions. We do not deviate from the resolution.
Does that answer your question?
Didn't answer my question.
No?
It went over my head. So.
Okay.
Me too.
If you could look,
she follows the same guidelines as the resolution. And the percentages,
correct.
She just does it instead of we doing it.
Correct. So if you look, I did include all of those resolutions in your packets. So there are different kinds. There's a $1,000 infraction.
Okay, so here, let's stop right there.
Yes, sir.
Who approves the $1,000 infraction?
The assistant secretary.
The assistant secretary.
Yes,
sir. That's what I wanted to know. How high up in the chain of command is the
anything? Yes, anything less than... Now it's 25,000. In prior years, it would have been 10,000. Any of that goes through the secretary and the assistant secretary.
Okay.
So the assistant secretary approves those.
Get a confidence level that it's being not approved by an assistant somewhere, but it's being
Correct.
Approved by the highest level in the organization.
Correct. It goes through the manager, then it comes through the director, and it's passed on to the assistant secretary.
Thank you.
So you're going to provide us with information on all penalties that has been waived.
Yes, sir.
Give us another chart that is similar to the one that you put in our packet, at least.
Yes.
Through, I guess through 13 through 16.
Yes, sir.
And when did we change it from 10 to 25,000?
August of 2015, about a year ago.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Any other questions on these penalty waivers? Or any public comment on them? All right, I guess you're on item two.
Yes, sir. Item two is a staff report to the board that the election for November 2016 gas royalty is to be paid on a processed basis at the Discovery Plant at La Rose and the C. Robin Plant at Henry per the terms of the State Texaco Global Settlement Agreement. And that concludes the audit report.
Great. Thank you.
Thanks.
Now we'll have the legal and title controversy report, again presented by Mr. Emil Fontenot.
Item number one is a request for final approval of a lease amendment by the State Mineral and Energy Board for and on behalf of the State of Louisiana and SR Acquisitions 1, LLC, whereas said parties desire to amend said lease to include the force majeure provision, shut-in provision, payment provision, and other required clauses affecting State Lease number 1462, situated in LaSalle Parish, Louisiana, with further particulars being stipulated in the instrument, which has been duly advertised, and it appears on today's docket as item number 16-35. Staff recommends final approval of this lease agreement.
All right. Any questions or discussion on that item, item one? Any public comment? Now, do I have a motion in favor of the staff's recommendation?
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Hike, second by Mr. Hollinshead. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. Item two.
It's pursuant to the request of Mr. Theodore M. Hike, Jr. at the October 12, 2016 board meeting. Staff will present an overview of the established criteria adopted by resolution dated April the 8th, 2009, which established criteria for considering requests for waivers and or reductions of liquidated damage assessments incurred as a result of the late release of terminated state leases. Category of the late releases, a copy of the resolution is in your binder for reference. The resolution states that requests can be handled as follows. First, infractions. Complete waiver of all liquidated damages assessed. Subsequent infractions determine the percentage of the total original lease acreage released late, and then divide that amount of acreage released by the total original lease acreage and multiply that amount by the liquidated damage assessed, or in lieu thereof, you could offset that by the lease bonus amount. For example, if the liquidated damages was $50,000 and the bonus was $30,000, the board could reduce it to the $30,000 example. Alternatively, the board may waive the entirety or a future portion of the liquidated damage assessment for cause, or in the circumstances of the late release demonstrate misconduct or bad faith, the board may determine that no reduction of the assessment is warranted. And that's what we have currently for the late release criteria. Any questions, any comments that the board
late release?
For the late release, yes, sir.
Anyone?
Numbers. Yes, sir, I do. Do you have numbers,
Type?
We've provided a schedule of the amounts that were assessed for the late assignments and late release. It's a five-page insert. Last page should have some red letter information on it to for your eyes to key in on it.
Emil, it's not in the book. It's actually a spreadsheet here on legal that's underneath your lease form.
Oh, this one right here.
Yes, sir.
Under the lease form.
My apologies.
Can you review it for us?
Sir?
Can you kind of give us a thumbnail sketch?
Well, I think from 2012 to present date, any time there was a late release or a late assignment penalty, we catalog those things before coming to the board. And as we presented them to the board for a waiver or not to waive it, those are the figures that appear and the results are what you see on the printout.
Do you have a total?
No, I don't think that.
Grand total.
I don't think that spreadsheet does. I can get that for you.
You don't have to do it today, but I'd like to.
Oh, by all means, I'll get it for you, sir. I'll get it for all the members.
Right. Mr. Hite, just to draw your attention, if you see, we went from 2012 to current.
Yes, sir.
And if it's not amount waived, then it's billed and paid.
Yes, sir.
So you would want to see a comparison, Mr. Hite, as to what was paid to what was waived?
Yeah, yes, I'd like to know what those numbers are.
Sure.
The amount paid looks like it's less than $200,000.
Just from the shooting from the hip, I would say so, yes, sir. But
between 150 and 100 and 200, I guess.
I'll get an accurate figure for you. My apologies for not having it ready for you.
All right, any more questions on the late release? No, we'll move on to late assignments.
There is no established criteria for considering a request for waiver or for reductions of liquidated damage assessment regarding a civil penalty for failure to obtain board approval of any assignments of a state lease. In lieu thereof, this office follows Revised Statute 30:128(b)(1). For procedure, which reads, failure to obtain approval of the board of any transfer or assignment of a lease within 60 days of execution of the transfer or assignment shall subject the transferor or the assignor to a civil penalty of $100 per day beginning on the 61st day following the execution of the transfer or assignment. The penalty shall continue to accrue on a daily basis until the date on which the transfer or assignment is received by the Office of Mineral Resources for submission to the board for approval or to a maximum amount of $1,000. In the past, there was never an issue. The majority of the people just paid the penalty, so we didn't establish any criteria, and we just stayed with this particular guidelines of the statute.
Any questions on late assignments?
The recommendation is not to waive. Is that the recommendation?
There is no recommendation here, sir. This is the criteria that we follow, which is statute. So if there is something to the contrary that needs to be suggested, otherwise we will continue with this as the way we go forward with late assignment penalties. And again, as you had alluded to, Ms. Newman, you made the comment, and that is correct. The statute does allow the board to waive all, a portion, or no amount at all.
We are number three. Is that where we are?
That's late registration. Yes, sir. I just want to make sure everybody was satisfied with
it. Gone yet, but nobody has anything on late assignment. We'll move to late registration.
And there is no established criteria for late registration for considering requests for waivers or a reduction of liquidated damage assessment regarding the failure to properly register as a leaseholder. In lieu thereof, this office follows Revised Statute 30, 123.1(c) for procedure. In part read, should the record lessee, after being duly notified, fail to properly register by the date fixed in the notification, the State Mineral and Energy Board may levy liquidated damages against that lessee in the amount of $100 per day until the record lessee is properly registered with the Office of Mineral Resources. The liquidated damage assessment may be waived in whole or in part by the State Mineral and Energy Board. We have no criteria here or procedure as well because we think it's clear cut. It's a simple phone call to get these people to register. They either say yes or no, and if they do, they register. If not, we come to you with the circumstances. We have quite a chore ahead of us today for items 3, 4, and 5 with each category, a situation with each category. So we will present that to you, and they have representation from the party as well that would like to address the board. I'm not trying to get ahead of myself. I'm just telling you that the situation we'll be presenting to you, we think is clear-cut as the registration, but then there's always the other side of the story for the board to consider. And that completes the criteria for the petroleum land section as far as waivers are concerned.
Any questions or discussion or public comment? If not, we'll move on to item 3.
As mentioned earlier, items 3, 4, and 5 deal with Shelby Energy Holdings, and we have Mr. Rick Shelby, attorney representing Shelby. So I don't know how, what's the board's pleasure if you want to take them one at a time, and I'm sure Mr. Shelby would like to make comments on each one of the items. So
they're all for the same lease, just different amounts?
And different penalties, one's for late release, one's for registration, one's for late assignment.
Okay.
I think we might need a motion to take them all in globo and then just vote on them individually.
If you'd like to.
It's your pleasure, sir. Whatever the board.
Who is someone's here?
Yes, sir.
Why don't they come up and discuss, and then we can.
As we go through one, let him present his position?
I guess, yeah.
Okay.
So you can explain each, and then
okay.
We can take them.
Fine.
We can approve them.
All right. We'll start with item 3.
Right.
It's a request by Shelby Energy Holdings, LLC, for a waiver in whole or in part of the liquidated damage assessment in the amount of $10,700 for failure to re-register as a leaseholder by May 31st, 2016. Shelby Energy registered with the Office of Mineral Resources on September the 16th, 2016, 107 days beyond the board-imposed deadline. Letters were sent and numerous follow-up telephone conversations urging Shelby Energy to register were ignored. We have a timeline, and we've memorialized those contacts that we've made with Ms. Michelle Williams that should be attached or in your packets. Ms. Michelle Williams with Shelby Energy informed staff that they did not own an interest in state lease number 20669 or any other state lease. While it is the responsibility of the Asinor to obtain board authority, Shelby stated that it was their understanding that their assinees would obtain board approval for the transfer. Staff continuously made it clear that Shelby is the owner of state lease number 20669 until the board approves the transfer and that liquidated damages continue to accrue. Every effort was made clear for Shelby to register or suffer liquidated damage assessments. There is no established criteria set in place for considering this request, and staff does not recommend a waiver because staff's efforts to resolve this issue were ignored. As I mentioned, Mr. Rick Shelby, an attorney representing Shelby Energy, would like to address the board.
If I may, please, I'd like to start off. My name is Pat Theophilus, again, owner of Theophilus Oil, Gas, and Land Services, regarding these penalties. I've seen numerous times, whereas you have in these various new companies that are getting involved with the state's mineral program, and being that they've never really done work here in the state of Louisiana, they're kind of associating everything with, like, Texas, Oklahoma, Mississippi. Whereas when you do, like, an assignment, okay, basically what they're doing is they're just going ahead, once they obtain the assignment from the various company itself, they'll go ahead and have it filed and recorded, not knowing as far as the mineral board's procedures, as far as going ahead and having it approved prior to the actual recording date, okay? When I was notified about these various situations that Shelby Energy Holdings had got into, it basically had dawned on me that I've seen this numerous times throughout, you know, my dealings with the state's mineral program. Again, based upon these companies are trying their very best, you know, trying to work with the state of Louisiana. What this company basically did, they went ahead and had the lease was filed, the assignment, I should say, was actually filed and recorded, okay? But upon doing so, they failed to get the state mineral board's approval, as well as they were not a registered agent with the state of Louisiana. So that's how all of these various penalties started kind of coming into play regarding, like, the late release. When we were notified of this, the partial release, we worked on it immediately, got the partial release filed and recorded. We had Shelby, we went ahead and had them registered with the state of Louisiana with Office of Mineral Resources. So we worked on this, I mean, immediately, got everything done. We had proof that the assignment was actually filed and recorded. We presented it to the mineral board, making them aware of. But my point is, a lot of these companies really aren't, you know, familiarized with the state's program regarding the assignment procedures, as well as the registration and the release of, or partial release of, these state leases. With that in mind, I'd like to go ahead and turn it on over to Mr. Rick Shelby, who is the attorney, and he might like to add some of these, address some of these items as well.
Thanks, Pat. Thank you, Chairman Segura, members of the board. This is a situation that, this is my first appearance before the board. I represent a company called Macquarie Bank. Macquarie Bank is a Australian bank. They lend considerable sums of money to oil and gas companies, that do business in Louisiana, Texas, along the Gulf Coast. Macquarie had lent money to a operator that owned leases in North Louisiana. In around 2010-11, the loan had got into arrearage. We were told to foreclose on the leases. It was not a situation that Macquarie wanted to be in the ownership of oil and gas leases. Shelby Energy, yes, my name is Rick Shelby. I'm not appearing here as an owner, so it is purely coincidence. My client's daughter's name is Shelby, and he decided to name the entity Shelby Energy. When we foreclosed on the assets, Macquarie, being an Australian bank, could not take ownership of property on U.S. soil. So they established Shelby Energy Holdings, LLC, who then became owner of the assets. They appointed a contract operator, Whitestone Energy. Unfortunately, I do not know Michelle Williams, so I apologize to Mr. Fontenot on that. I mainly do distressed asset work for Macquarie Bank. We've been involved in a lot of work, unfortunately, recently with the downturn. But the situation here was, yes, last year of August, Shelby entered into a assignment with Bechtel Oil and Gas Company. The understanding was that they were assigning all of the state lease. They did not do that. As I understand, at the beginning of the year, when they were supposed to re-register with the state, they did not do so. The issue came up at your May board meeting. A letter was sent. My client contacted me at the end of May, of this year and explained to me that he understood that all that property had been assigned, that there would be a re-registration required if we didn't assign it. So, you know, the situation then occurred that there was some confusion, is the best way that I can establish that. The Bechtel was also involved in some litigation with a working interest owner that co-owned these properties. Bechtel has not agreed to abide by some portions of how we were going to resolve that litigation. We have basically gotten that done, and that led to the delay in me contacting Mr. Theophis. We worked with Mr. Fontenot's office, I think, through June and July. They were very helpful. We appreciate all the work that they had done. He assisted us in knowing what we needed to release. There had to be a survey done. I think the office said that they would provide the survey information. They worked with Mr. Theophilus. He prepared the forms. We got them signed and returned as quickly as we could, got the releases recorded, the assignment recorded, and now here we are. I know there are three items on your list, the first one being the failure to re-register, a penalty, and the largest penalty being for failure to obtain the release, which ran from the date of the assignment of last year. Again, the position of my client is that the release did not occur because the understanding was that everything was being assigned. This is a first infraction situation for my client. My client is a small player in this business, did not want to end up with these properties, wants to continue to support the oil and gas industry, and does not intend to be an entity that will have to appear before this board asking for waivers in the future. So, to some extent, yes, I am throwing myself on the mercy of the board, and I understand that bad faith and misconduct are looked upon in these waiver situations. I'm hoping that I can answer any questions that the board might have regarding our lack of understanding, and I'll do the best I can to address that. But my request is that the penalties be waived, knowing that they are larger penalties than I see on this docket, and knowing that there's been discussion prior to me coming up here about the size of penalties. The only explanation that I can give for the fact that it took until September to get this done after contacting his office in, I believe, early June when I got involved, was that that these things take time. We took the agreements that we have with Bechtel. There was just no cooperation on that end, and so it became to the point where we had to seek expertise to get this done, and that's what we did. And I don't know how long it took. Pat, it didn't take him long.
It didn't take us long at all. We got on it immediately.
I think it was August, and everything was done in September.
These leases are in Bossier Parish, is that correct?
That's correct.
That's what I thought. Thank you.
These were not Haynesville.
No, I know right where they
are. Yeah. I don't think we had any royalty situations with these leases before. The reason the assignment had occurred was basically our client was trying to get out of P&A liability, and they were not looking to putting more money in these leases, and we found someone that was.
If you will also look at the insert, the contacts with Shelby Energy, what Mr. Shelby here is saying is very accurate. Back on August the 12th or on August the 1st, we had made numerous attempts to contact Michelle Williams, and she finally gave us the name of Jim Jordan, attorney in Houston, and we followed that lead. And on August the 12th, our office had conversation with Mr. Jordan, and it appeared that from August the 12th through September the 16th, when they registered, that they had more authority in the position to move forward with our request for registration. So if that helps any in this situation, and it bears some weight, it should be noted that from August the 12th, it all started back in April the 20th, but from the 12th, August the 12th through September, I think we had more that staff did not know. We just contacted Miss Williams, thinking that she would pass this on to the appropriate parties, and we have that quite often. So for whatever that's worth, that the contact that's memorialized here, I think it started in August or so, would be significant also for your understanding.
Yeah, and thank you, Mr. Font. No, Jim Jordan is the general counsel for Macquarie Bank, and he is my client contact. So, you know, that is accurate. I do not know, unfortunately, who Ms. Williams is, but I guarantee you once I leave this meeting, I'm going to find out.
What was Ms. Williams' position, did y'all say?
We think she was a contact person, since Mr. Shelby doesn't know, in our numerous contacts. As time went on, she was frustrated in telling us that they didn't have an interest, and I'm no longer we can't do anything, and you may want to call Mr. Jordan. And she said, I'm off on another assignment, like a contract type person. So I'm believing that was her involvement. We don't interrogate them. If they say they're working with the company, all we need for them is to register.
But you can't be for sure if she did relay that information, or it's obvious that she didn't. Is that what you're saying?
That's what I'm saying. I'm saying based on August the 1st, that was pretty much the end of our conversations, our contact with Ms. Williams. And then when she gave me the lead of Mr. Jordan, I called him, and it takes time to get back from August the 1st, but on August the 12th, I had a conversation with him, and he said he would take care of it and get on it, and I guess that's when Mr. Shelby was notified. So that's kind of how that's going. But
thanks again, Ms. Fontenot. Now that I'm thinking about the name, early in my comments, I mentioned that Shelby had a contract operator, Whitestone Energy. The gentleman that runs Whitestone's name is Burt Williams. So I'm assuming that Michelle may be his wife or, you know, another related employee. I have not had a conversation with Burt in some time since we foreclosed on the assets. But my guess is I will find out that Ms. Williams works for Whitestone, who was the contract operator. So that doesn't relieve Shelby of having to take the responsibility, but they were the ones that were managing the properties on behalf of Shelby.
Sir, does Shelby Energy operate in any other states?
No, sir. They were
the only. This is the only state.
They were only established to hold these assets once they were foreclosed upon, have no other assets or ownership.
Any of the other companies that you've alluded to operate in any other states in terms of oil and gas?
Macquarie has a office in Texas. That's where their office is. That's who.
What is it, sir?
Macquarie Bank. They own Shelby Energy.
They own Shelby Energy.
Correct.
They deal in oil and gas.
Well, they don't own oil and gas assets. They loan monies to oil and gas companies. So they are a pretty large lender to oil and gas companies, and that is what we have done. The work that we have done for them has been on the distressed loan side of their business. They have dealt with, they were a big lender to ATP Oil and Gas, who went through bankruptcy and lost quite a bit of money. They own overrides in some assets that they have provided funds to help drill. That was exactly the situation with Southern Star, I believe was the name of the company that originally owned these leases.
So they got some equity positions based upon problem
exactly.
financing?
That's
not as an initial investor.
No, they don't want to be a owner or equity holder.
Right.
That's not their business.
I have a question, I guess, from Emil. I'm just summarizing all these three different issues, and it seems like they all started within, or they all happened within 4 months of each other, from May 31st, 2015 to August 2015, the first problem being the re-registration that Ms. Williams didn't think was their responsibility, then the failure to partial release in July, and then the assignment issue of the remainder to Bechtel. There was dialogue with Ms. Williams about being late or
registration.
Right. On the other two issues of the failure to partial release and the assignment, was there, I mean, in that instance of the failure to re-register, there was dialogue saying you need to re-register, and she was saying that's not my responsibility, right?
They were saying that they had no interest, so they did not need to register with
right.
the, what she was conveying.
So was there that kind of dialogue with someone? I mean, at least you notified them.
Yes, sir.
And had dialogue with them. Was there that same type of notification and dialogue with someone on this failure to partial release and the assignment?
That's a different issue.
Or is it those just purely automatic, and they didn't do it,
automatic.
They got charged.
Michelle Williams had nothing to do with that.
Well, not her, but anyone.
Well, that was with our ownership.
She didn't have anything to do with any of them.
Our ownership staff talked to different people as far as the release, so that there's always dialogue going on with that, to what extent and how much they memorialized. I don't have it in front of us, but yes, they are aware of it, and we stay on top of it until, actually, I think this really kind of start jump the whole thing, because once Mr. Jordan got involved, I think it made the other process of getting the release run a lot faster than it did before.
Right.
It brought everything to their attention.
Well, and while I realize you're a new operator to the state, if we're talking to you and telling you have to do something, then you kind of know, or you're supposed to know, unless that employee was negligent or overstepping their bounds of decision making. But that's all I'm trying to find out.
I really can't comment on that.
Yeah.
So.
Sometimes when things are automatic and you're unfamiliar, well, that's a different story than us calling you and telling you.
Yeah, I would hate to think that there was not a reason why to inform my client that the contact was being made by his office. So I don't have, unfortunately for the board, information or response to that. When I got involved, my role was we had to get this release done. Mr. Theophilus prepared the documents, told me that there would likely be some assessments and penalties. He also found out that we had not registered. He had also found out that the assignment had not been approved, and went through the mechanisms to get that done. I think our
right.
communications.
Basically, it's just a chain reaction, just like what you see. You know, it started off with one, and then it just continued on down. That's basically what has happened. And, I mean, I've seen this over and over where the companies fail. They may have gone ahead and did the assignment. Maybe the lady didn't realize. She thought that the assignment was legit, you know, that everything was fine and dandy. They went ahead and filed and recorded in the courthouse. And, you know, maybe she thought that they didn't have no interest in the lease. So there's numerous ways that you have to look at some of these, you know, penalties. And again, but once it first started, I could see what was coming on down. You know, where all three of them were just going to fall in sequence in line with each other.
Any other questions or discussion? Or do you need Emil to explain the other items 4 and 5?
I do need to do that.
Yep. Ms. Bradbury.
Your client have any other holdings in the state?
No, sir.
None?
No, sir.
Any interest in future holdings in the state?
No, sir. They have no, as I said earlier, it's not their what they do. So it was only the situation that they were presented with, and they had no other choice but to foreclose on the assets. The significant part of this for my client is they are a bank. They're a federally regulated bank. And when they get assessed and they have penalties, it's a big deal. And that's why they sent me here. That's why they are not happy with the circumstances. That is why I'm asking the board for the waiver. I think
let me interject. So you're not necessarily representing Shelby, you're representing the bank?
Well, I'm here on behalf of Shelby because Shelby's an affiliate of Macquarie, and they are, you know, responsible. The officers of Shelby are all officers of Macquarie. The only reason that Shelby is a separate entity, as I explained earlier, is they had to be a U.S.-based entity to hold the assets.
Right. So, but in that respect, the members of the board of the bank are the members of Shelby. So did they acquire their position through financial hardship or because they just formed another entity and they happen to be the same owners?
Well, Macquarie was the one that was the lender. So when we foreclosed, the foreclosure suit was filed on behalf of Macquarie Bank against the entity. Prior to the sheriff's sale, we substituted Ms. Shelby as entity for Macquarie by basically transferring that loan because Macquarie couldn't take ownership as a offshore bank.
Right.
So, yes, Shelby acquired the assets from financial hardship, and the officers are in their position because Shelby was only meant to hold these temporarily.
Right. The bank acquired them, not Shelby. Right.
Right.
So it's not so much the dollar amounts. It's, you said it's a big deal to bank regulators is why you're here.
Exactly. Yes. I think if it was, I explained to Mr. Pondo earlier that if the board finds it necessary to assess some portion of the penalty, one of the requests would be, and I don't know how this would be handled, but a request would be, how would we describe this assessment versus it being a penalty or a damage, knowing that the description under the statute is that it's a penalty.
Ms. LeBlanc?
Did I understand correctly that we have no prior history with this company? Is that correct?
No infractions, correct.
Infractions, that's what I'm getting at. And this is a small company, did I understand that correctly?
They were the owner of one lease as a result of a bankruptcy that they took over. So they're not an active player is what he was saying.
There were some private leases involved as well in the foreclosure, but there was only one state lease.
What is the name of that bank again?
Macquarie It's MACQUARIE.
So basically, in essence, McCrory will be, if this penalty is upheld, if you will, or assessed, if you will, by the board, it be the bank that's going to actually pay this.
That's correct. It would be McCrory. McCrory funded this entire operation.
Because McCrory and Shelby are basically the same.
Right. I mean, it's a, Shelby's just an affiliate of McCrory, a U.S.-based.
McCrory does business in other states, but not in this state.
Well, they lend
oil and gas business.
They lend funds to entities that also do business in this state. They do not, in any other state, have any other U.S.-based entity that owns assets. They lend money to.
Didn't you say that McCrory does conduct oil and gas business in other states also?
If I did, I misspoke. They have an office in Texas. That's where their U.S. operations are based, in Texas. That's where Mr. Jordan, that's where his office is.
I thought that you said that that bank deals primarily in oil and gas.
They have a segment of their lending business that deals in oil and gas. They do not own the assets.
No, I understand.
They provide funds, and they fund oil and gas operations throughout the United States. Yes, they deal with other oil and gas companies that do business in Louisiana, but they don't take on the role that they have in this situation.
And I believe they just purchased Cleco Corporation, didn't they?
I think that's right, yeah. Yeah, they're a large bank.
Yeah.
They're a big bank.
All right. Any other questions or discussion?
I have one. What is the disposition currently of the state lease that your company now has ownership of?
Bechtel, which I believe is also on the board's docket today, is the approval of the assignment that happened a year ago. Bechtel is now the operator of that state lease. When we made the assignment, it was a P&A liability. So I don't know what Bechtel plan is with that lease, but they acquired it for a reason. I don't know if they are going to do anything in the near future with the price of oil, but there was also another working interest owner mentioned some litigation that they're trying to get the money from to help clean up some of the issue that they assumed out there.
Okay, thank you.
And Bechtel has no involvement with Shelby or McCrory other than being an assignee.
That's correct.
So what's the situation with the lease and production and all?
The lease is no longer producing. That's the other half of the lease that is being released.
Okay.
To 0669. Shelby. No, that's not right. The other half. That's
so
not right.
If it's not producing.
No, it is. It is. I don't know the status of that.
We don't know if it's producing, but it's a valid lease.
Well, we have the technical staff in here. I hate to put them on the spot, but there may be someone that can address 20669.
I'm just asking, like, is this a dead lease or not?
I'm still on the registration right now.
Right.
And just I curious. Don't have my thoughts on that, but if you give me a second.
Mr. Chairman, I don't think Bechtel would have taken the assignment if they didn't have any intent to do some further production. I think at the time of the assignment, I wasn't aware of any production.
Okay. All right. Anyone?
Just part of it.
part of it is, part of the lease, I'm told, is dead. The other portion is producing.
That's correct. Part we're releasing, which we thought we had assigned to Bechtel, and they said, why would we want that?
Release, right.
We had to get released.
You released a portion and then assigned a portion.
Correct.
The good one.
Chairman, you ready for a motion?
Yeah, it's the pleasure of the board. All right, if there's no further questions or discussion.
I'll make a motion. I don't know if it's passed or not, but I'll make a motion.
Mr. Hike?
As I add these figures up, it's about a $45,000 penalty or assessment. Is that right, sir?
That's correct.
$45,500. With number four, staff is recommending a reduction at $33,000. Basically, my motion is to, I guess this is a question for the attorney, and that is, can we lump all this together? Can we make a motion to consider all three of them together?
Yeah, I think you can.
Good. You sure about that?
But I guess you're going to have to specifically state what you want to do in each one, right?
Well, I was thinking.
I think you can assess one amount. You can combine all three to assess one amount if each one of them has different criteria that apply to them. Then I guess you would have to go through those individually.
My thought was to make a motion on all three, grant a reduction because of the circumstances,
okay,
and not necessarily take each one individually. But if you say otherwise, I think
you can do that.
Well, we have to be careful because each one is invoiced individually. So if you're going to take a cut rate, do we just take it proportionately for each one?
I think it would be pro rata.
Okay.
What's that, sir?
I said that I think that the amount that is assessed would be applied pro rata to each of the individual things. So I think it could be split back up.
Why don't you make your motion and let's see what it is.
Okay, my motion is to assess, to grant a reduction to assess a penalty of $22,500, which is 50% of what it is that the staff has not recommended but considered in all three instances. And I think this, you know, the reason for that is that I think that there's some extenuating circumstances, but so you know, there's other folks that.
So, you want you?
Yeah, my motion is to assess a penalty of $22,500.
And that would be a 50% reduction in
of
all three amounts.
Yes,
proportionately.
Yes, and my thought is that we should not waive the entire amount because, in my mind, at least, the bank has some responsibility, and they've engaged in oil and gas positions in other states. They ought to know what they're doing when it comes to the state of Louisiana. If not, they should now.
Mr. Hike,
that's my motion.
50% is $22,750.
$700.
$750.
Okay,
so
good.
That's
whatever it is. As a lawyer, I just divide by three. You
understand? I know, well, I just round.
You're not very good at math.
I round either up or down, depending on what side I'm on.
So that's my motion, $22,750.
Okay. All right. So Mr. Hike recommends reducing each of these assessed amounts by 50%, which collectively add up to $22,750. That's his motion. Do you have a second? Then I guess the motion fails. Is there another motion?
I was going to make a motion to waive 66% of the penalties. So that's my motion.
So basically using the same criteria as Mr. Hikes.
It's
66% of each of these amounts.
Yes.
Which would be collectively.
That's not, I'm sorry for being a little dense here. That's not like two-thirds, 66 and two-thirds, just 66%?
Two-thirds.
Okay.
Sorry.
But you'd have to carry the six all the way out.
66.67. So what that would equate to is a reduction of $29,700 and a payment of $15,800.
Correct.
So Mr. Watkins has a new motion.
I'll second.
Second by Mr. Hite. Any further discussion or questions? Any public comment? If not, all in favor?
I need to recuse myself.
All right. Mr. Hollingshead recuses himself.
Can I make one comment, please, Mr. Chairman? Thank you for the recommendation on the reduction. Again, I re-urge my request on how, if any possible way, that the board would consider creating an invoice that says this is a assessment on the lease versus simply a penalty. I believe what the invoices that we receive, if I have one, excuse me, say is
I'd like to hear from our attorney before we make any of the
It would read liquidated damages, if that's his concern. And I talked to Mr. Seideman before the meeting, after I spoke with Mr. Shelby, and he asked that request. So I asked Mr. Seideman to start formulating some thoughts on that so he can address the board relative to changing the assessment term to a fine or a whatever.
Thank you. Ryan Seideman with the Attorney General's Office. I have reviewed that request. I don't think that it's something that the board can grant. That classification is statutorily classified as a penalty, and I don't think that the board can change that. I'm recognizing the ramifications of that for a financial institution. I just don't see any way that we can kind of pull a sleight of hand to change that term. It's statutorily created, so I wouldn't recommend changing anything.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Thanks. We have a vote before the board for a motion from Mr. Watkins and a second by Mr. Hike concerning Shelby Energy Holdings. All in favor of that motion and second?
Aye.
All opposed? Mr. Hollingshead recuses himself. The motion carries. Thank you
very much.
Thank you.
All right, item six, Shoreline.
I just need to also, while Mr. Shelby is in the audience, let him know that item five that was for the late assignment, and that's going to deal with Batchel assignment from Batchel from Shelby to Batchel, and that'll be on the docket item. As item 18, we'll have to defer that for the liquidated damage of $1,000. With this, it'll be down to $333 or something. And until we can get the payment for the $330.33, the board cannot approve the assignment into Batchel.
So, who's presenting docket today?
That'll be
Macy.
Macy.
Okay.
So I just wanted to.
You noted
it?
Okay.
And I wanted Mr. Shelby to understand that that's our policy, and until then.
I understand policy. What I'd like to do is get a check today over. I don't know if we can make that get back on the.
We can make it subject to the check.
Doing that, but I can get a check over here today for $333.
So you don't need to adjust the vote or amend it because of that.
We haven't gotten to that.
He can actually pay, can he?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
but it's a little thing we had to tidy up in when
right.
I was here. I
okay.
wanted to, because it's going to be coming up in
But that didn't prevent you from accepting his payment, right?
No, sir.
Okay. All right. Thanks.
All right, we'll move on to item six. As you suggested, is a request by Shoreline Southeast LLC to extend the previously granted authority to escrow royalty payments attributable to the disputed acreage within state lease number 21436 related to the upper Descarbus 12 RASUA in Bastion Bay Field, Plaquemines Parish, Louisiana. The board adopted resolution 16-01-16 on January 13, 2016, which approved Shoreline Southeast LLC's request to escrow the aforementioned royalty payments. Shoreline Southeast is in compliance with OMR deposits and SR reporting requirements for escrowing royalty, but negotiations are still ongoing and additional time beyond the June 8, 2016 authorization previously granted in Resolution 1601-016 is needed. Staff recommends that the board grant Shoreline's request for an extension effective June 8, 2016 and continuing through June 2017 board meeting or the date of the next meeting of the board thereafter, should it not meet, to allow for continuing evaluation, negotiation, and resolution of the adverse claims.
All right. Any questions or discussion on item six? Any public comment? If not, all in favor of staff's recommendation, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? The motion carries. Item seven.
It is a request by EEC E&P LLC for a waiver in whole or in part of a liquidated damage assessment in the amount of $800 for failure to re-register as a leaseholder on May 31st, 2016. EEC currently owns an interest in state lease numbers 19202, 19203, 19204, 19205, 19206, and 19232. On May 18, 2016, OMR sent a letter to EEC at the last known address of record, requesting that EEC renew its registration as a state leaseholder by May 31, 2016, or incur liquidated damages in the amount of $100 per day commencing June 1, 2016, until registered. The May 18, 2016 letter was returned to this office with a notation undeliverable. Staff continued its efforts to locate EEC by contacting business associates, who in turn contacted EEC to make them aware that OMR was attempting to contact them. Subsequently, on June the 9th, 2016, EEC contacted OMR and promptly registered 8 days beyond the board imposed deadline. EEC states that they never received written notification of our request to register, that EEC moved from their address of record in June of 2015 to another address. EEC states that these leases were issued in 2006 and was unaware of the registration requirements. Considering the circumstances mentioned herein, and EEC's promptness to register, staff recommends a full waiver.
All right. Any questions or discussion on item seven?
Yes.
Mr. Hike?
Is that registration required each year?
Yes, sir, it is.
And they had these leases since 2006?
Yes, sir.
And they registered every year from 2006 until 16?
No, sir. The system was somewhat not adequately taken care of, which we've made efforts to do, and in doing so, we have a lot of things we've plugged up. And
I don't understand. From 2006 to
at least the end of 2015.
It just slipped through the crack, Mr.
Every year, this company did, in fact, re-register.
They did not.
Oh, they did not.
They did not, and they were unaware. The last time we had them registered, and we had taken steps recently to make sure to safeguard that and run the registration more efficiently than in the past.
Did they have any other leases that had re-registered? How long has EEC been operating in the state?
If I had to guess, I'd say probably 5 years. No, they'd have to be more than that because they wouldn't. I don't know. I don't know where EEC got their interest from. I'm sorry, I don't have that information, but. Just. I can find out the chain of title for you and let you know.
I'm kind of curious. I mean, they've been dealing with the state since 2006. If they had other leases and if they operated in the state before 2006, it seemed to me that they would know that they have to re-register.
From around 2012, 2013, there's been a big awareness with industry and their responsibility to register. These are some of, we're going back to older players in time, and you can say, well, if the new players know about it, why not the older players? And we've done quite a few things with our leasing. When you grant a lease today, we will actually put a notification in the transmittal letter with the leases reminding them. We've taken steps to help them to remember. In addition to the mail-outs that we do a mass mailing that we're about ready to do right now as a friendly reminder to help them. And I think the awareness is catching on, but I'm caught in a situation where we're trying to move from the past to the new and improved procedures, and you hit me hard here, but that's the
I'm
truth.
I'm not casting dispersions on you, Mr. Fondo. Please don't.
No, we're not happy about
my,
this.
My concern would be that if we make a waiver here, and we're not talking about a lot of money, but it might set a precedent, if you will, for others. And it's kind of like waiving penalties in my mind. Everybody has an excuse. I mean, I don't know.
Emil, you might want to talk a little bit about the efforts done in the last 6 months relative to trying to clean up our list since 2005 so the board can understand how we're managing this and improving going forward.
In the past, before 2005, a lot of the players didn't realize that they had to get board approval and things of that nature. We decided to take the group from 2005 forward and really hit it hard and make everybody aware of what's going on. We had some, I want to say, 700 players that we dealt with, and we got it down to 15 in the last year. That was a remarkable effort on the petroleum land section to clean up those records. We didn't have that kind of presence before, and it's nobody's fault. It's just that we're moving forward with some different direction and guidelines, and it seems to be working. We're hoping when we send the 2017 reminders in another week or so, if we can get them out, that we can clear up the whole board and we can start working back from 2005 to 2004. But this is where we have our problems. People didn't realize that they had to get board approval. They sell their interest off to some, assign their interest off to someone else. The person getting it doesn't realize it, and we're constantly trying to find somebody that was responsible for coming to the board, but they've either died or they're out of business or what have you. So we're on top of it right now, and we're really excited to see the outcome of the 2017 mail-out reminder to the leaseholders so we can tell you just how successful that is.
Do they have to re-register every year, Emil?
They do. That's my statute.
Does it cost anything?
It costs them nothing. The key here is that to be registered with the Office of Mineral Resources, you have to be registered with the Secretary of State and in good standing. Having said that, there could be a $35, $55, $100 assessment from the Secretary of State's office that I don't know that figure. But for us, Mr. Cordera, it's free.
Any other discussion or questions on item 7? Any public comment? Do I have a motion to approve the staff's recommendation? Moved by Mr. Carter. Second by Mr. Cordero. Any further discussion or questions? Public comment? If not, all in favor? All opposed? The motion carries. We need to go back to item 6. We approved that, but without a motion and a second. So if you remember the Shoreline Southeast.
But you took all three. Okay. You didn't take all three together?
No. The Shoreline.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So I have a motion by Mr. Hike to approve the staff's recommendation, second by Mr. Hollinshead for the approval of item 6. Any questions or discussion or public comment? If not, all in favor? All opposed? Motion carries. Item 6 is approved. Item 8 now.
That's a request by Glenn Burke on behalf of Burke Brothers Resources, Inc. for a full waiver of a liquidated damage assessment in the amount of $1,900 for failure to timely renew its leaseholder registration regarding its interest in state lease number 2038. Mr. Burke, in his letter dated October the 27th, 2016, claims that notification letters sent to him by OMR were never received because of office relocation. Attached to his letter was a recorded copy of the formal release filed in the records of Cameron Parish, Louisiana, executed on May 31st, 2016, and filed of record on June the 20th, 2016, being some 19 days assessed. Further, Mr. Burke states that neither he nor Burke Brother Resources, Inc. currently own an interest in any state of Louisiana leases. He lives in Houston, Texas, and because of the current state of the oil and gas industry, it would be cost prohibitive for him to attend today's meeting at the State Mineral and Energy Board. They are listed as inactive on the Louisiana Secretary of State's records. Considering Burke's release of his interest in state lease number 2038 dated May 31st, 2016, that Burke does not own an interest in state leases, that letters sent to Burke to re-register were not received, and the current state of the oil and gas industry, staff recommends a full waiver of the assessment.
Any questions or discussion on item 8? Any public comment? Do I have a motion to approve the staff's recommendation? Moved by Ms. Michelle Dugas. Second by Ms. LeBlanc. All in favor? All opposed? All in favor? Say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? The motion carries. Okay, item 9.
It's a request by White Marlin Oil and Gas Company, LLC, that the Mineral and Energy Board refrain from nominating or accepting nominations on 20.84 state acres now or formerly covered by State Lease 1908. White Marlin expects to be asking the board at its next meeting to acknowledge a mistaken release of State Lease number 1908. They have made a colorable claim that the lease was released in error and that the lease obligations have continued to be performed. However, current departmental records are not sufficient to sustain
this claim, granting White Marlin's request to temporarily take the acreage out of commerce will allow them time to meet with staff to investigate, to meet with staff and provide additional documentation. It will also give time to OMR staff to investigate the alleged claims and make a recommendation to the board. Staff requests that the aforementioned acreage be taken out of commerce until December the 14th, 2016.
So this was nominated?
No, sir. It's an issue that has come up that it was released back sometime, State Lease 1908, and they are purporting that they continue to maintain that lease with payments, and we have issues with that. So we're asking the board just simply to take the 20.84 acres out of commerce until the parties can present to us and satisfy us that it has been properly maintained, so we can get back to you to ask you to either reinstate State Lease 1901 or simply to take the acreage out of commerce, whatever the meeting.
And that's what you're asking us today?
Just to take the 20.8 out of commerce.
All right. Any questions or discussion on item 9? Mr. Hike.
So moved.
Mr. Hike moves to accept staff's recommendation. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Watkins. Any public comment? If not, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, nay. The motion carries. Item 10.
Item 10. A request by Theodore M. Hike, Jr., member of the Mineral and Energy Board, for approval of the following proposal to move the process for adopting a new oil and gas lease form forward. A, that the following portions of the proposed oil and gas lease form of August 2, 2016 be considered for adoption in principle by the board. That would be page 1, definitions, Article 1, bonus, Article 2, primary term, Article 7, offset wells, Article 8, lessee reporting, Article 11, lease access, Article 12, lessor's rights, Article 13, environmental laws and regulations, Article 14, responsibility for environmental damage, Article 16, general liability insurance, Article 17, title disputes, Article 20, notices, Article 21, indemnity and hold harmless, Article 22, no warranty of title, Article 23, executory contract, Article 25, conflict, Article 26, severability, Article 27, counterparts, and page 22, the signature page. And B, he further requests that at the time of the final consideration of the remaining articles, then the articles that were adopted in principle be reviewed and finally adopted. Alternatively, staff recommends that the following be adopted, that therefore the board does hereby approve in principle those portions of the August 2016 draft of the proposed state lease form that are not highlighted. This approval is in principle alone, recognizing that staff review and public comment on the highlighted portions may necessitate changes to the non-highlighted portions. The proposed state lease form as a whole be to be approved in final form for use and implementation at another date. However, if the board accepts Mr. Hike's motion, staff recommends striking the article listed as definitions from the list.
For your review, too, if you noticed in your packet, there's a new lease forms status as of today, November 9th, 2016, if you've seen it. David could explain it better than I, but it lists the articles in the 2016 lease and the article headings and the 2000 lease and the paragraphs and the things that are new in the 2016 lease, and then the red lines throughout, and then the industry comments on the various articles is the last column, which seems to be Article 5, 6, 9, and 18. 19. Right, and the red line copy of the August lease was provided in your packet along with that.
If I could explain.
Yes.
May I ask a question?
Yeah, go ahead.
If you don't mind, let me ask a question.
Absolutely.
As I read the staff recommendation, I may or may not have an objection to that. Did you write that staff recommendation?
I did, and it was meant to help in discussion.
Okay. And the difference between what I was suggesting and what you're suggesting is that I identify specifically the various articles I think we should adopt in principle, right? With the exception of the definition issue.
Right. Well,
right?
It did. It was specific, but the alternative was meant to cover and capture more than yours did. Because yours, there were some articles that were essentially not going to be approved in principle, which didn't have really any...
Wait a minute. Let's back up a minute.
Okay.
What is the reason for recommending the striking of the word definition? And I may agree with you on that, but I want to hear what your reasoning is.
Yeah, it's because
the word restore is struck?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I don't have a problem with that. Okay? I don't have a problem with that. So in terms of me offering an amendment, but what I do have a problem with is, and I don't quite understand, so I want to ask you specifically, does your recommendation cover Article 1 bonus as being one that would be acceptable in principle?
That's a good one to use. Actually, that one is not a good one. Look at Article 6.
Wait a minute.
Look at Article 6. That would help a lot.
Let me look at it. What I did, Jim, is I took the August lease.
Right.
And I went through it, and everything that was did not have a highlight seemed to me to be non-objectionable, if you will. And that's how I came up with this list.
Well,
it seems to me that if we're going to adopt in principle certain articles, we need to be specific. So I guess my question to you is, you know, I want to know specifically. I don't like general language. I want to know specifically the language in the August 16, 2016 lease.
Mine's
Article 1 bonus. Do you have an objection to adopting that?
Mine is more specific than yours.
Why is that?
Well, if you'll look at the definitions, if you use the alternative suggestion, we could adopt
definitions. I agree with definitions. You on the definitions. I agree with you on the
right.
Definitions.
And if you'll look at, for instance, number 6, we could adopt almost the entire article except for one word. And
Article 6?
Yeah, pooling and unitization. Not adopt.
Well, I understand that. I understand that. But Article 6, pooling and utilization, is struck through, right? In the August, or has a.
It has one word that's been swapped out. If you'll look on
right.
Page.
Well, I understand one word has been swapped out.
But what I did was very simple. I looked at the lease, and everywhere there was not a red line or a change, I listed those articles. So if there is a red line or a change in Article 6, pooling and utilization, that is not in my list. To me, that meant that article was going to be discussed at a later date.
I understand.
Right?
Yes.
So my question to you is, first, do you have an objection to Article 1 bonus being accepted in principle?
It's not my place to object. I just make recommendations.
No. I understand that. But I'm asking you if you have if you would have an opinion as to whether or not there would be an objection.
It's just a different way to approach it, really. And I think really the most significant direction you could give to us would be, what does it mean to adopt in principle, and kind of flesh that out for us, because I think that's probably the primary question.
Well, Mr. Smart knows what I'm talking about. He's been at many of the various discussions about this.
Hey,
so
Tom,
what I was trying to do is move each article through the process.
I hate to interrupt. Can I speak? I'm Tommy Smart with the Honabain Law Firm, and Cynthia Nicholson and Peck Hain weren't able to obtain, to appear. They're with the Gordon Rada Firm, but I'm also speaking on their behalf. I had some comments to make, but I'm generally more comfortable with the format that Mr. Hike proposed, in part because I found that I knew about it at least yesterday, and yours I haven't had a chance to go back and check through everything and to see what the provisions, how that goes into our discussions, and also in light of the memo that we may have given after that the form was posted. I can't remember
the comments were after the August,
so that they wouldn't necessarily play into your highlighted language in the lease form.
Right.
So I'm more comfortable with his format, and I do have some additional comments.
Sure, go ahead.
But and those are, and again, one of them is the definitions, which y'all have already raised. In that the definitions were on your list to approve, but that one of the definitions that comes into play later on, and this might come in to the agreement in principle, was the definition of restoration. We would still want to add that as part. We would argue to add that definition so that or agreeing in principle to definitions would be subject to the ability, our argument that we should add that definition
at a later date
after
you review what the height affects the rest of the lease, and I understand that.
Okay. I just wanted to raise it, and y'all had discussed it. Okay.
But wouldn't you be more comfortable, sir, if in fact we adopted specific articles in principle, and at the end of the day, when we complete the whole process of looking at every article, you would have the opportunity to come back to us and say, you know, Article 4, which was not adopted in principle, may affect one of the articles that we did adopt in principle, so we're suggesting change so-and-so.
Yeah, Mr. Hike, one, I like your, if we're going to go down this path, I like your listing of the specific articles. I support that process if that's what we're going to do. Secondly, on the definition, in this case, I think when we get to talking about the abandonment and restoration provision, I would want to talk at that time about that definition. I would not want to wait until the end of the process and come back to it, because it will be an integral part of discussing that provision.
And I
think you agree. I
understand.
Think you're
that.
Open to that.
I understand that. My thought is that if we're going to adopt certain areas of the lease in principle, we need to be specific so that it doesn't open up for discussion of whatever after we've acted on specific articles.
I agree.
I just think it's cleaner.
Okay.
Not open for discussion any longer, the adoption in principle?
If I said that, I misspoke.
Okay,
my intent all along has been to move this lease towards an end process and adopt articles where there is no
a dispute. And I recognize and agree to that process, and that we ought to proceed down that. I like your listing, and I'm just going through my list to say that on the definitions, I think we're going to need at some point to come back to that one particular definition that might need to be added. And I have a few other items that I would like to mention, if that's okay.
It's fine with me. I mean, my motion would be that we adopt in principle those articles within the August 2016 lease, which I've identified, that have no redlining or highlighting or sedestic change, with the exception of the word of the word restore restoration.
So your motion is different from your agenda item? Your agenda item was to just approve that list of articles. And now
I guess you're right. And that is, we take definitions out of my motion.
Okay.
Because I understand your concern, and I want to
appreciate that.
Work through that concern with you. And if the board, in its wisdom, agrees with me, then we can move past those articles and then get to an area of the lease where we may have some disagreement and further discussion.
Yeah, and I have a few other articles that I would like to point out some minor disagreements, so that I want them noted for the record, if that's okay.
That's fine with me. I wait to hear your comment.
Okay. On the offset wells, Article 7, there's some language in, and I can go into this if you want me to, subpart A, in the second and third lines of it, which are lines 19 and 20. That parenthetical is confusing, and in light of, as we go through discussing articles of that we might be subject to disagreement, we would like to discuss that further with the board.
So if I understand you correctly, you're wanting to take at least Article 7 off of this?
Yes, sir.
Agreed list?
Yes, sir.
Okay. All of it, or just that?
Well, I could
paragraph.
A, there's A, and then in D and E, there's some language about if we know or have access to information, and that we would like to discuss the reasonable has access to information. So D and E would be ones that we would want to discuss. So we would
I wouldn't have any problem with that, sir.
Okay.
What would be your next one?
Okay. So the next one is Article 14, environmental damages, in that depending upon how we handle abandonment and restoration, that could affect Article 14.
All right. What else, sir?
Okay. Then the article on insurance in 16F, okay, we would like to discuss. That's my last one. The $100 a day penalty there. We just would like to discuss that in the process. 16F.
So if we removed 7, 14, and 16, then we could adopt in principle the others.
And then, yes, and discuss those.
And that's all of 14?
I think it should, in my mind at least, it should be all of that particular article, because whatever changes he might suggest at a later date, Mr.
And
Chairman,
all of 16.
Yeah, we may have some other.
Okay.
Yes. References.
Yes, sir. Those are the ones I wanted to discuss.
So,
and your position or the industry, I presume you for the
I
entire
speak for
industry,
my,
right?
No, sir. I speak for myself, okay. And I've also try because I'm just trying out of concern. I've been practicing oil and gas law for over 30 years, and this stuff affects me like it affects y'all. So I'm just here on my own and having heard concerns from clients. So I can't speak for everybody. And also, I would like to, in light of like the motion, no offense, the motion that we got this morning that kind of changed how we might approach it. I don't know what the go forward process is going to be, but if we can know ahead of time in an adequate time period in advance to prepare to appear here and know what's going to happen, then that helps us give constructive input.
Part of that problem is, like as you brought up, Mr. Hayek, is he doesn't represent all of industry, and so it doesn't really, notice to Tommy doesn't
But
it's not public notice.
Whereas if it's on the if it's on y'all's webpage that this is how this is the process weeks in advance and this is how we're what's going to be looked at, then the public
right.
and myself have a chance to know what's going on and appear and make whatever constructive
more than a week before.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Smart, let me ask you this. As far as you're concerned, the other definitions in the definition section, if you will, on page one, would be acceptable to you, notwithstanding the issue of reinserting some new language as it relates to restoration and restore.
I'm not aware of any. I mean, we've
not aware of any objections
so long. I'm not aware of any objections. That's my specific problem is on the restoration.
Well, I want to address the fact that industry didn't have adequate time to look at all of this because we've been looking at this ad nauseum from before this board was appointed. Maybe 2 years, at least in my mind, about 2 years before this particular board was appointed by the present governor. So numerous meetings.
I did not mean that to be critical at all. I just want to, on the go forward basis, I would like to know.
And you certainly, in my mind, you certainly have a right to that, and we want industry's input. So I would like to amend my motion, Mr. Chairman, to be as follows, that the board adopt in principle as it relates to the August 2016 lease
draft,
you're right. May get there one day, huh? All of page one as it relates to definitions, with the exception of the word restore and restoration, which will be reviewed at a later date, adopt Article 1, 2, 8, 11, 12, 13, 17, 20, 21, 22, 23, 25, 26, 27, and 22, all adopted in principle with the consideration that after review of those articles which have been left out of this motion, be reviewed at a later date. And just for the record, those articles that have been left out are Article 7, 14, 16, 3, 4, 5, 3 being lease payments, 4 being transfer and assignments, 5 force majeure, 6 pooling and utilization, 9 royalty, 10 audit rights, 15 financial security, 18 termination and release, 19 abandoned restoration, 24 law enforcement forum. Those are the ones that have been left out that would be considered a later date.
Mr. Hike, can I ask a question?
Sure.
I just want to make sure because I didn't have this in front of me when you were starting off. Is it my understanding that what you've done is you've limited the definitions or proven the definitions except for the restoration?
Yes, sir.
Then you've followed your list plus yes. the ones I raised.
Exactly.
Thank you.
Exactly.
I just wanted to make sure I understood.
Exactly.
Thank you.
And the reason I make this motion is to try to move this process forward. And as Mr. Smart has said, and I certainly agree, that at a later date, the board should take considerable effort to debate and discuss and ask for information relating to those articles that have been left out of this motion. And in my own mind, it's going to take some time, and I don't know how the chairman wants to handle that, but we should take all the time necessary to debate those articles, because to me, at least, it's a very significant portion of what we might be doing as a mineral board.
Right. We'll have some ideas, but we'll discuss that in the future and figure out how we go about moving forward in a way that most probably won't be in a regular board meeting because of the enormity of the discussions. But we want to make sure that all sides are heard and that we try to work out a lease agreement that's fair for both the state as well as industry.
Thank you again for considering our input.
Great. Thank you. Okay, so Mr. Hayek has a motion on the floor. Do I have a second?
Second
by Mr. Watkins. Any discussion or questions?
I'll wait until for the motion. That's to approve what, is that what Mr. Hayek's motion is to approve the...
It was basically to approve what was on the agenda, not the staff's recommendation, and accepting out Articles 7, 14, and 16, and something on restoration within the definitions?
Yeah. Opting out Article 7, 14, and 16, based on Mr. Smart's information, and also the acceptance of the definitions, except for the words of restore and restoration, which we're going to come back to.
All right. So we have a motion and a second on the floor.
I have a question, Paul.
Yes, Mr.
Yeah,
Cadero.
You may have said this, but what the things we approve in principle today, what if down the line the other ones we address, is there any way they come back and impact these that we...
Yes, he had mentioned that before.
So how do we...
There may be. I don't know. We don't know that. But my thought is that in order for us to get past the impasse that we're at, that we should adopt these in principle, zero in on those that might... there might be some discussion about. And along the line, it may impact some of these that we... adopt in principle, and we take a look at it at that point in time.
What does "in principle" mean legally? I mean, what does that mean?
I don't know.
I sure don't know.
Well, basically, what I'm saying is that we are approving and trying to get past certain of these articles so that we can move on to those articles which may require significant discussion.
And I think what he means, and I'm practicing law here, but the thing is to get past those areas that we don't really have that a disagreement on, and to focus on the articles we do have a disagreement on, and that today we're not finally adopting the lease. We're just saying that we generally agree upon those stated articles, but we don't have a final lease adoption on any of them. On any of the items. Am I correct?
I agree with your assessment, Mr. Chairman.
So, any more questions?
Just my thoughts. I'm not an attorney, but I don't see anything in here that would prohibit us from going back and revisiting these sections.
Right.
Should the need arise. And we're certainly not bound by eliminating these sections from articles for further discussion. I really don't see any downside. I think it will allow us to focus on the areas that need further attention.
Right. We're just merely stating we're not really arguing on those specific items, but let's focus on the ones we are. And that doesn't mean that those may not an agreement on those may affect the ones that we seem to be in agreement on. So, all right. Any public comment? If not, I'll entertain a vote. All in favor of Mr. Hayek's motion and Mr. Watkins' second. signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed, say nay. The motion carries. Thank you, Tommy, for your input.
That's all we have on legal and title.
All right. Thank you. All right, we'll have a docket review. Mr. Macy Dennis will present for us.
Thank you. The staff of the Petroleum Lands Division of the Office of Mineral Resources has reviewed those items requiring board approval for the November 9, 2016 docket and recommends the following. Excuse me. For Category A, state agency leases, please approve items number 1 and item number 2. For Category B, state lease transfers, please approve items number 1 through item number 7. Item 8, approve subject to the approval of the governor. Please approve items number 9 through items 16. Item 17, defer at the request of staff. Please approve item number 18. Item 19 and 20, defer at the request of staff. And approve item number 21, subject to the approval of the governor. Category C, Department of Wildlife and Fisheries, state agency lease transfers. There were no items received for this category. And for category D, advertised proposals. Please approve item number 1. And this will complete the staff's recommendations to the docket review report.
Great, thank you. And that included the item Emil had talked about with Shelby, right?
Yes.
Happy chat.
Okay.
That's item 18, which we're going to approve.
Okay.
And he'll be paying.
Go to the bank after this.
Right. Let's see if he pays it.
All right, any questions or discussion on those docket items? Any public comment? Do I have a motion to entertain? Do I have a motion to accept the staff's recommendation on those docket items? Anyone? Moved by Mr. Watkins, second by Mr. Hike. If there's no more comment or questions or public comment, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, say nay. Hey, motion carries.
I need to recuse myself from that one, please.
That's right. Mr. Hollinshead will recuse himself on that vote. All right. I guess we're at our technical briefing. Thank you, Mr. Dennis. Do we need one or not? I mean, do we need to go in executive session? I mean, to make it look like we have more leases. There is nothing to discuss in the executive session.
That's correct, yes. All the bids submitted today are acceptable. Staff recommends the board accept those bids.
Okay. All right. Anybody have any questions on those bids? Let's accept the staff. Do I have a motion to accept the staff's recommendation to approve those bids? Moved by Secretary Harris, second by Mr. Watkins. Any public comment? If not, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed signify by saying nay. The motion carries. Item 7 is new business. Any new business? Nope.
Got one.
Oh, Mr. Hyde.
I don't know if this is new business. I think it would be. And I know you're tired of listening to me, but I'm going to bring it up anyhow. And that is, I'm talking about resolution of 1610014. And I just want to bring this to the attention of the board. We adopted this resolution, and I voted for it, but I have some misgivings about it, and I'll tell you what my misgivings are.
And that was the resolution for what?
It was the resolution that grants the authority for the chairman, vice chairman, and secretary to sign any and all documents of the board, affecting the will and purpose of the board. And if you remember, when we had a general discussion about that resolution, I had some concern that though whatever action would be taken or executed would have to have board approval before action or before execution. And there was some discussion about inserting some language in it, and with Mr. Ryan's assistance, we did change the resolution to a certain extent, and I voted for it. But as I reflected upon it, I don't think it accomplishes exactly what we want. And by that, I mean that I believe that we all want this, and that is any of those documents that are to be executed by the chairman, the vice chairman, and or the secretary should be approved by the board before they're executed. But the way that resolution read, it didn't say that specifically. And to me, it leads, and what, you know, 10 years from now, 15 years from now, we may not be around, and staff would be different, the board's going to be different, so there might be a different interpretation of that resolution. So in my mind, at least, what I plan to do, and I'm just notifying the board, that I plan to offer an amendment to that resolution at the next meeting to make it more specific that these documents, before granting authority to any one of the three of these individuals, must be approved by the board before execution. And that was my intent initially. I think that the way it came out, there's some ambiguity that
Mr. Hayes,
a good lawyer could run right through.
Secretary Harris.
Thank you. I would like to point out that this resolution is simply a restatement of the statutory authority that those three position holders have. We're not giving them anything that is not already granted to them by the legislature and statute, and it's never was the intention to give them authority beyond implementing the decisions that were made by the board.
But, Mr. Secretary, if that's true, then you won't have an objection to the amendment that I'm going to make, because if it's already statutory, then there's no need to require that language. I'd like to research that and make sure that you're right on point, because in my mind at least, I do not want to give the board the authority to execute those certain documents without board approval. So if what you're telling me is correct, and I'll take a look at it, I won't offer that amendment at the next meeting. But if I come to a different conclusion, I'm just saying that I'm going to offer an amendment to the previous resolution that was adopted and that I voted for.
Certainly. I was trying to make sure the board was aware of the statutory.
If that's true, authority. Then we'll see.
And by no means are you admitting that you made a mistake.
I think I made one this year, and I probably made one last year, and I don't mind admitting when I make a mistake. And my wife will tell me I made many mistakes.
That's right. That's right.
If I can't poke fun at myself,
right,
I'm going to poke fun at you.
Come on. All right. Well, so
noted. So we'll see at the next meeting. And item 8 is the announcements.
Yes, sir, Mr. Chairman. Good afternoon. November 9th lease sale, a total of $131,428.25 has been received for two leases granted. Also, everyone was emailed about the ethics compliance. Please get that in before the end of the year. And that'll be it for announcements.
Yeah, I believe Becky sent you all a link to the Board of Ethics site. It's like a 10-minute viewing of them, and then you get a certificate. All right. If there's no further announcements or business, I'd like to entertain a motion to adjourn this meeting. Do I have a motion to adjourn? Moved by Ms. LeBlanc, seconded by Mr. Hollinshead. All in favor? All opposed? Motion carries. We are adjourned. Thank you. We'll see you at the December meeting.